Okay, a short word first on the coming parasha, Vayikra. As everyone knows, Vayikra starts with a small aleph. Rashi at the beginning of Vayikra makes a contrast between the lashon of Vayikra that it says by Moshe, Rabbeinu Vayikra El Moshe, and the lashon of Vayikar Elikim El Bilam. The word looks very similar, but it's really a whole different shayrish, and it means that he chanced upon him, he happened upon him. And Rashi says that this is more of a lashon chiba. So the Balaturim very famously says that the reason why the Aleph is small is because that Aleph, the Aleph at the end of the word Vayikra, is written in the Sefer Torah as the Ois Zeir, it's a small letter. So that Aleph highlights the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu, who excelled in the midah of humility, and Bilam, who was the opposite. And so that Aleph Zeir represents the midah of Anava. So I saw once their hair in this. I'm not certain. I think it was in the Shem Yishmuel. I'm not sure. That he said, look, if you think about the difference between Vayikar and Vayikra, right, Vayikar means he happened upon him, and Vayikra he called him. So let's imagine that Reuben wants to talk to Shimon. And he could do it two ways. Vayikar, he could happen upon him, right, barge in on him, or Vayikra, or call him, then Afkamina is going to be, whose house are they meeting in? If Reuben is going to be Vayikar to Shimon, then inevitably they're in Shimon's place, because what would make Shimon come to Reuben's place? He wasn't called. So if Reuben is meeting Shimon with a Vayikar, it's in Shimon's place. If Reuben is meeting Shimon with a Vayikra, he called him, so a call could be an invitation, then the meeting could be in Reuben's place. So Zok Shem Yishmuel, Vayikra Hashem El Moshe means that when Hashem spoke to Moshe, the meeting was in Hashem's place, meaning that the experience left Moshe elevated or had the effect of elevating Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayikar Lekim El Bilam means that Bilam may have had the exact same experience, but he stayed exactly where he was. Bilam, Chazal say, the Talmidim Shal Bilam, their hallmark is the Ayin Ra and the Nefesh Rechava and the Ruach Gavoya. It's Mishnah and Avos, it's not so clear what each one of them means. There's different Peshatim in the Mefarshim, but they're not compliments. Right? That described Bilam's Midos. So the Vart over here is that, and when he finished speaking to the Rebbeinu Shalom, he remained with the same Ayin Ra, Ruach Gavaya, Nefesh Rechava. He was just as bad as he was before, because the experience didn't elevate him. He didn't want to meet Hashem in his place. He wanted to stay just where he was and talk to Hashem over there. So his quote-unquote schar, or oinesh, right, the consequence of that is he got exactly what he wanted. That he spoke to Hashem, but remained exactly where he was. So that's the Vayikar. Vayikar means Hashem spoke to him, but it was in Bilam's place. Bilam stayed exactly where he was. Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayikra, so Hashem spoke to him and he became more godly, he became more elevated as a result of that. That's the Vayikra. So the upshot is that the Midah of Anava is really what determines how much a person is going to be impacted by the ruchnistic experiences that he has. A person learns Torah, a person is Isaac in Tefillah, a person is Isaac in Mitzvahs. If a person is, you know, Rahman al-Islam has the midos of a Bilam, so he could go through all of that, but he's not going to become, if he doesn't want to change, he's not going to be changed. If he feels very like he's just right the way he is. But somebody that has the midah of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Anava, so then it's going to be a Vayikra, that, you know, we don't have exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu had of being called by Hashem and spoken to personally, but every Limud HaTorah and every Maisa Mitzvah is really an encounter with the Rabbeinu Shalom. So when we have those encounters with the Rebbeinu Shalom, we become, if we approach it with a midah of Anava, then it's a Vayikra rather than a Vayikar, so we become elevated through that. Okay, moving back to...
The Kashi really blink.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah,
when the Lashon of Vaidar was used, when the Lashon of Vaidar...
Then that's not part of this contract. Over here we have...
Most of the time he speaks to him by the original.
Rashi says l'chol hadibros kad makriya, which also I'm glad you mentioned that there's that is the lashon of Rashi at the beginning of Vayikra is l'chol hadibros l'chol tzivuyim kad makriya. What that means is that Moshe Rabbeinu never, you know, even though, you know, hundreds of times Hashem spoke to him, he never started to feel like, it's coming to me. Oh, yeah, that's what I do. I talk to the Rebbe Shlom. He was like, every time he was surprised, he had to be called. Moshe, oh, what, me? There was the same Vayikra El Moshe, L'chol HaKriyas, I'm sorry, L'chol HaDiburim, L'chol HaTzivuyim, Kod Makri, he always needed to be called. Yeah, no,
so no. I'm just going to say that, so it's not, Vayikra is not really the reason. It shows the result. It explains the word as a because of this. This is how Moshe Rabbeinu
right.
took it. Yeah.
Right. All right.
So you can't blame it on God. He didn't go to him. It reflects the result of the encounter. Right.
Exactly. Right. Right. That's a very good way to touch it up. Okay, in Parshas Pekudei, it talks about the Mishkan and the Bigdei Kohuna, and it talks about the tzitz. The tzitz was the golden plate that was on the Kohen Gadol's forehead that said Kedesh Lashem. And the pasuk said, "V'haya al mitzchay tamid," that it remained on his forehead all the time. The Gemara in Menachos learns from this a halacha which is negeya bezman hazeh every day. That the Gemara says, "Amr Rabbi Rav Huna, chayev adam lamashmesh betfilav b'chol shah," that a person has to constantly touch his tefillin. Like we're familiar with, like we do that, by Kriya Shema, Kshartim Loisal Yodchol, Tzavis Veinanecha. By Ashrei Pesach Tzedek, must be L'chol Charet Zoyin. That one's a minig. I don't know if it's brought down so much from Paiskim, but we do it over there. And Birchas Kriya Shema Yetzer Aruv Arichay Shech. Ashrei we have at the beginning of davening, at the end of davening. So we really call Shah every few minutes when we have our tefillin on. We're mamashmesh betefillin. So where does this come from? The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Barav Huna, Chayev Adon mamashmesh betefillin b'chol Shah. Kal v'chomer mitzitz. It's a kal v'chomer from tzitz. Umat tzitz she'im by ela azkara achas. If even the tzitz, which only has Hashem's name once, it says Kodesh Hashem, but the Torah says v'hayal mitzchay tamid, and tamid means shelo yasiach dato mimenu, because tamid, the Gemara says, it can't mean tamid literally, the way the Gemara speaks it out. Sometimes the Kohen Gadol had to go to the bathroom, that's what the Gemara says. Sometimes he went to sleep. It wasn't al mitzchay tamid. So what it means is that he had to constantly be thinking about it. Whenever it was there, he had to be thinking about it. Shelo yasiach dato mimenu. So tefillin, so that's the tzitz she'im ayela azkara achas. So tefillin she'ish men harbe azkarites, it has Hashem's name many times in the tefillin. When the Rambam brings down this Gemara, he elaborates a little bit, he counted it up, and he said 21 times the Shem Havaya in the tefillin shel reish, and kenegdei in the tefillin shel yad, that the azkarites harbe. So alach has kama v'chama, that a person can't be mesiach das from the tefillin, and therefore chayev l'mashmesh b'tefillah b'chol shah. So from the tzitz, we learn a kav, so by the tzitz is a halacha, I guess that's the aleph, by the tzitz is a halacha of an iser hesach hadas, the Kohen Gadol had to keep his mind on the tzitz. From the tzitz we learn a kal v'chomer to the tefillin. The tefillin are, in a certain respect, more holy than the tzitz because they have more azkaris of Hashem's name. So therefore there's an iser hesach hadas by the tefillin, and so we're mamashmesh b'tefillin b'chol shah.
Where do you get the mamashmesh from? You didn't have to be mashmesh by the tzitz.
Okay, that's a great question. And that's a great question. So some of us talk about why don't we find this halach of mishmosh by the tzitz. We may come back to that, I'm not sure. But
the tzitz says when you have something very valuable in your pocket, you check it all the time.
That's right. If you find money, you could assume that the person who already noticed was right, very good. So this halacha of hezchadas. So what it sounds like it's saying is right. The words of the Gemara usser l'hasiach dat mehem, that when a person's wearing tefillin, he's not allowed to be mesiach dat, which sounds like it means that you have to constantly be thinking about the tefillin that you have on your arm and on your head. Which seem, you know, I said before that we're all familiar with this minhag of lamashmesh betfilah, but what about the atzal hasiach date mehem? That sounds like a pretty tall order to not take your mind off of it. If we take the Gemara literally, that I don't know too many people that could be mekayim that kipshutai. So there's what's talk of the teretz that the Gemara says that a person is obligated to? So Shagas Aryeh has a long discussion on this halacha of Hesach Hadas by Tefillin. There's three simanim of the Shagas Aryeh on the topic. In Siman Lamed Ches, he starts with the discussion and he says, you know, maybe the whole thing should have been again al libet hilchasa, because he said it should be totally, believe it or not, on a machlekes that we actually talked about a few weeks ago, but a machlekes legabi kodshim. Every now and then we talk about kodshim here. We discussed a machlekes a few weeks ago about whether tuma hutra b'tzibur or tuma dechuya b'tzibur, that which a carbon tzibur is kariv b'tuma, is it hutra dechuya? Now, what in the world does that have to do with hezach hadas by tefillin? So there's the Gemara in Yuma and Davav connects the two. Very because I'm going to go through very quickly, just give you sort of a flavor of how the Gemara goes through it. There's a discussion in the Gemara about that sits. Reb Shimon holds that Bein sheyeshnei al mitzcha, Bein sheinei al mitzcha, it's meratza shenemar tamid. The word tamid that we were talking about before teaches us that it's meratza whether it is on his head or it's not on his head. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, edei al mitzcha meratza, ina edei al mitzcha, ina meratza, it's only meratza while it's on his head. He argues, as it says, he learns from Vinasa. So the, I think from the word in the pasuk Vinasa. Vinasa al meitzchay. It's only when it's carrying. I think that's where he learns it from. Vinasa al meitzchay. So then Reb Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, koyin godol b'yom kippur michiach. If you say that it only works when it's on, what about on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, when the Kohen goes lefnei v'lefnim, he's not wearing it sits. The sits is part of the big day zov. He goes lefnei v'lefnim, wearing just the big day lavan, for begadim. There's no tzitz. And if there's a tumah at that time, so what's meratza on that tumah? It must be that the tzitz is always meratza, even when it's sitting on a shelf. Rabbi Yehuda says back, you're bringing a raya from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Who's bringing karbanos at that time? We only need the tzitz to be meratza if a private person is bringing a carbon, because maybe that carbon, you know, is tamei, or he's tamei and he's doing an aveira. But on Yom Kippur, what are we doing already? Carbon is tzibur. Tumah is hutra b'tzibur. So therefore, you don't need the tzitz to be meratz on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, why did Reb Shimon bring a raya from the tzitz on Yom Kippur? Because he holds tumah d'chuyah hi b'tzibur. And like we talked about a few weeks ago, the nafkamina between tumah hutra b'tzibur and tumah d'chuyah b'tzibur, one of the nafkaminas is, do you need the tzitz to be meratzah for a carbon that's brought up a tumah, but tzibur, it's mutter, but do you need the tzitz to be meratzah anyway? Reb Shimon holds you still need the tzitz, therefore even on Yom Kippur you need the tzitz. Rabbi just says, no, you don't. So it turns out that if you hold Reb Shimon, who holds tumah hotri hibitzibur, Reb Shimon holds tumah dechuyi hibitzibur, he holds that the tamid is coming to teach us, bein sheyesh na'el metzcha, bein she'en na'el metzcha, the tzitz is always meratzah. Rabbi Yehuda, he holds tumah hutra b'tzibur. So the Gemara asks, and what do you do with the tamid? And then the Gemara says, oh, I use that tamid like the Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, for the Josh of Rabbi Rav Huna that I began with. It brings that whole thing to explain what Rabbi Yehuda does with the word tamid. But Rav Shimon doesn't do that with the word tamid. Rav Shimon uses the word tamid to teach him that the tzitz is always meratzah. So it turns out that this drush of Rabbi Rav Huna is only needed for Rabbi Yehuda, who held tumah hutri hibitzibur, but it's not needed for Rabbi Shimon, who held tumah dechuyi hibitzibur. And how do we pass on that machlokes? As we talked about when we were discussing Rabbi Yosef Kalischer and the whole idea of bringing karbanos nowadays, we said that the Rambam writes clearly that tumah is dechuyi hibitzibur. So the Shagas Aryeh says he has this fantastic idea that based on that Gemara and Yuma, the whole halacha that tefillin is asav hasach hadas, which is learned from tzitz, so the whole halacha that tzitz is asav hasach hadas, is only if you hold tumah as hutra b'tzibur, but we hold tumah as dechuyah b'tzibur. If you hold tumah as dechuyah b'tzibur, then there's no makar for the whole halach of hezach hadas, so we don't have to worry about hezach hadas. That would be very gishmak. We can put this nice to rest. You don't have to worry about it. Look, the Shagas Aryeh, but it's not. We should stop here. I gotta go.
Why do you need the tzitz to be meratz on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is meratz, baby.
Oh, that's a great question. In Kippur, right, we think that that's the biggest kayach of kapara, but everything has its own seder of kapara. Tumas mikdash v'kachav is the tzitz. Tumas mikdash v'kachav. And there's other things also tumas mikdash v'kachav. But for that particular avera, and more than that, not just for the avera, but to be machshir the korban, for that you needed the tzitz. So the Shagas Aryeh, so this was good try, but like the Shagas Aryeh, it can't be right. Because Lamaisa, the Paiskim, do bring it down. The Rambam brings it down. Even the Rambam, who Paskin Tumah Dechuyah is Dechuyah B'tzibur, Lamaisa, he brings this down. The Shulchan Aruch brings it down. And he says, and even in the Gemara's, it's Mavur, because even though, yes, the Gemara in Yuma says this in the context of a big machlekes about when the tzitzis meratz and what's the role of tumma by a carbon sibur, but there's two other Gemaras that bring down this halacha of chayvad nol mashvish b'tfilah b'chol shal kal v'chayvim tzitz. And in those two Gemaras, it makes no mention of tumma and, you know, kachdim and, and all of that is not mentioned in the other Gemaras. So it does seem, both from the Shas and from the Paiskim, that this halacha is an accepted halacha. The Gemara in Yuma sounded like it's only needed according to Maman D'Omar. So the truth is he spends pages and pages first going through, you know, a whole pilpul about Tum Hoshu B'tzibur, Tum Choy B'tzibur. But he ends up being miyashiv this by saying that it was only the beginning of the Gemara that thought that we would need the Pasuk of Tumid for the halacha of that sits being miratzik she'enei al mitzchoi, but ultimately the Gemara says, I don't need the Pasuk of Tamid for that, so everyone could use the Pasuk of Tamid for the halacha of Hasach Hadas. So again, we don't want to go into the details of that sugya. It's just interesting that Shai Gassari had this thought that this whole halacha might be totally on that, but he ends up saying, no, it's not. Everyone is supposed to hold the halacha of Hasach Hadas by tefillin. So then he goes on, that was Simon Lamed Ches. There's two more Simon, Simon Lamed Tes and Simon Mem, where he continues this discussion. So he says, okay, so there's a halacha, we got to live with it. There is a halacha of Hasach Hadas by Tefillin. So what does it mean exactly? So there is a shita of Rishayim that definitely seems to reduce the anxiety associated with it. It seems to make it much, much easier. It's a rush. Going on the Gemara, the rush is actually in Maseches Brachos. He's going on the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah, where it talks about sleeping in your tefillin. Sleeping in your tefillin, generally speaking, is not allowed. The reason, though, why the Gemara says that we don't want you to sleep in the tefillin is because when you're wearing tefillin, you have to be very careful about gufnaki. You know, your stomach has to be very calm and still while you're wearing tefillin. Shalei yafiach behem. And while you're sleeping, you can't control that, so you're not allowed to sleep in your tefillin. The Gemara says, but that's only a tefillas keva. A tefillas aroi, you know, it's a short little thing, it's probably okay. So you're allowed, at least under some circumstances, the Gemara has it said that you should cover them up first, but you're allowed, at least under some circumstances, to sleep a shinas aroi with your tefillin. And the whole discussion in the Gemara is about the gufnaki, and since b'shinas aroi, we're not concerned about the gufnaki, we let you sleep. So the Rishonim asked the Kasha, okay, we're not worried about gufnaki, but what about Hasach Hadas? You're sleeping, so you're not thinking about the tefillin. So Zok the Rosh, he quotes Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina asks the Kasha first. Rabbeinu Yoina says, "Umitoich divrei Rabbeinu Moshe lamadati teretz." He says, "I learned the teretz of this Kasha from the words of Rabbeinu Moshe." And Rabbeinu Yoina says, "The teretz that I learned." Oh, so that's a little bit of a mystery. That's certainly what you would assume. The Rabbeinu Yoina quotes Rabbeinu Moshe. Who else could it mean? It almost surely means the Rambam. But as we're going to see later, the Shagas Aryeh says that I don't believe the Rambam holds that way because I'm going to prove the Rambam holds exactly the opposite. So he says, I don't know who your Rabbeinu Moshe is. We're coming to that. That's the Shagas Aryeh. But first, Rabbeinu Yoina says, L'maditi b'teich divrei Rabbeinu Moshe, that the Isser of Hetzach Hadas by Tefillin just means that a person is not allowed to behave inappropriately with the Tefillin. Schoik v'kalas reish. Lightheartedness, joking. You have to be serious. You have to be conscious of your shemayim when you're wearing Tefillin. You can't be noyeg schoik v'kalas reish. That's the whole din of Hetzach Hadas by the Tefillin. And therefore, Zok Rabbeinu Yoina, so when you're sleeping, you're not fooling around while you're sleeping, so you're sleeping, fine. That's not called a Hasach Hadas. Because Hasach Hadas doesn't mean staying focused on the tefillin, it just means not going off to Tzchoik V'Kalas Reish. Now that obviously makes the whole mitzvah much, much easier. Zok T'Shak Asari, but I'm going to show you that this is really a big machlekes Rishayim. That's one opinion, we'll call that the Russian Rabbeinu Yoina. They have a very lenient interpretation of the halacha of Hasach Hadas by tefillin. It just means to say, you shouldn't be behaving b'schoik v'kalas reish. He says, but you know, there's a line in the Ramban. I say a line. He's not really coming to explain this halacha, but in the context of a different discussion, he says something that sheds light on this halacha. The Gemara says, Maseches Ma'akatan, Avel Aser B'Tfilin. And Avel doesn't wear tefillin. Now, we know, of course, that does not mean Avel V'yod Beit Chodesh, or of Shleishim, or even of Shiva. It means Avelos of Yom Rishon. It's still a big machlokes. What Yom Rishon do we mean? Do we mean Dafka the Yom HaMisa, or do we mean the first day of the Shiva? Most times, certainly, you know, with the way with our practice, most times the first day of the Shiva is the day after the Yom HaMisa. So the Mishmur brings down 2 days. We pass, and I think the widespread minhag ha'olam is that you don't wear tefillin on the first day of Shiva, even if it's not the Yom HaMisa. And it's not al tzayinin, right? You, if, let's say the kvur is at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you still have 6 hours afterwards. That one is not an ayinin, but the still, you don't put on tefillin at that time. There are different minhagim. Again, if it's the Yom HaMisa, then for sure you don't. If it's not the Yom HaMisa, there are different minhagim. But I think the more widespread minhag is that you don't put on tefillin that day. So it's Avel B'Yom Rishon.
Even after?
Yeah. Even after the Kruger.
I thought it's because it's Tarek.
No, that's all other mitzvahs. But there's a special din in tefillin. That's for tefillah, for brachais. You know, you don't bench, you don't make brachais. That's because an Einain doesn't do mitzvahs. Tefillin has a separate halacha because the tefillin is called a pe'er, and Avelus is, what's the Lashon of the Gemara? That the teferis is in the offer. I don't remember the lashon exactly, but it's a stira, the pe'er of the tefillin with the offer of the avelos. So an avel doesn't wear tefillin, and it means b'yom rishon, not al saninos. The first day of avelos, there's a halacha they don't wear tefillin. When the Ramban brings down this halacha, he explains it with a reference to the Gemara that we started with, that tefillin is also b'hesach hadas. And he says the Avelos, the beginning of the Avelos, is shaz bechi u'mispeid. How do you expect him to concentrate on his tefillin? That's why an avel is part of a tefillin. So the Ramban says the din that an avel doesn't wear tefillin is because the tefillin is mechayev, that you concentrate, also b'hesach hadas. There's a similar comment in the Rambam. The Rambam writes a halacha, which it's very big chiddush. It doesn't really come from the Gemara, but the Rambam writes. I mean, it doesn't have an obvious makar in the Gemara. The Rambam says that, and this we have to, you know, say this over cautiously with a disclaimer. Yeah, don't try this at home. But the Rambam says that mishe hu mitzta'er ve'ein datem yusheves alav patur minat tefillin. Tefillin is only for people that can concentrate. And if somebody's ain't datem yusheves alav, if somebody is very distracted, he's a mitzvah or something very distressing is going on right now. He just got fired. He just broke up, you know, and he's just really, really upset and he can't take his mind off of that. Look, you don't put on tefillin that day because tefillin is asur b'hesach hadas. So the Shagat Zari brings down these two statements, the Ramban about the Avelis and the Rambam about the mitzvah. And they both, right, they both say because of Hesach Hadas. So what's their definition of Hesach Hadas? It can't be Rabbeinu Yoinu's Hesach Hadas. Hesach Hadas just means that you're not allowed to be Isaac v'schik v'kalas roish when you're wearing tefillin. So both of these characters, the Avel and the Mitzdayar, they're the least likely people to be engaging in schik v'kalas roish. They're in a very serious mood, but they're just not able to concentrate on their tefillin. And the Rishonim say they can't wear tefillin because tefillin is also b'hesach hadas. So Zot Shachar Sari, I see that there's two sides here in the Rishonim. There's two different definitions. There's the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yoina. Excuse me. They go with the lighter definition of hesach hadas, that all it is a iser against chayk v'kalas reish. And then there's the Ramban and the Rambam. They go with the stricter definition of hesach hadas, that it means literally that you can't take your mind off of it. And so now we have these two opinions, Machlokes Rishonim. So the Shaila is, like the Shagas Aryeh, so which one is right? Now, we don't usually clear those Shailas. When I say we, I don't even mean just you and I, but Achreinim don't usually proceed through a sugya in that way, that I see two Pshatim and Rishonim, and now I'm going to decide who's right. Most Achreinim took it as their job to learn up the Rishonim. And, you know, sometimes you have to paskin which way we're going to be noyheg, But we're not coming to decide to like the there's actually a very gishmak of Maramakam in the Beis Yosef. He puts it very well. There's the Beis Yosef in his Hakdama, which is a very worthwhile read. There's a lot of very interesting things in the Hakdama to the Beis Yosef. But one of the things that he says over there is he clears a Chakira. He says there's two ways to approach Psak. Because first he writes that in this Sefer, his intention is that he's going to bring down every sugya in its entirety. You're going to read my Sefer, you're going to know for every halacha, the Gemara that it comes from, all the different ways that the Rishonim learned the Gemaras, why some didn't want to learn it that way and they learned it differently, and why the others didn't want to learn it this way and they learned it the other way. And I'm going to bring down the whole sugya with all the shittas of the Rishonim. But I'm not going to stop there, right? As we know, the Beis Yosef eventually wrote the Shulchan Aruch. That was his goal all along, to come to a bottom line, la halacha. So then he says, so I was wondering, how do I cross that bridge? How do I get from the shlemus of the sugya to the psak halacha? And he said, and there are two ways to do it. One way is to decide who's right. And that was my first thought, that after all, we all want to do what's right. So if I have, you know, you have Tosis' mahalach in the sugya, and you have the Ramban's mahalach in the sugya, so you should figure out which one is more correct and paskin that way. Zek Beis Yosef, I'm not going to do that. And he writes for two reasons. First of all, because who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? And he says, or anybody else. If Tosfos, you know, wasn't convinced by the Ramban's Rayas, and the Ramban wasn't convinced by Tosfos' Rayas, but I'm going to come up with the Rayas She'inel of Tshuva, and I'm going to say, oh, you know, I would have disproved, if Tosfos was here, he would have given in to me. It's not likely that I could bring Rayas like that. And so that's, you know, an expression, I guess, of humility, that we're not really ro'i to decide between the Rishonim who's right and who's wrong. And then he says, and furthermore, I have a job to do. Right? The Beis Yosef is writing on the tour. There's I don't know, about 1,000 or 1,200 simanim or so in all the four sections of the tour. I have a job to do. I want to go through about 1,200 simanim and work through all of those sugyas and get you to the bottom line, the halacha, in each one of them, right? The Eved should give me arichas yamim to finish that task. But if I'm going to go with this plan of trying to figure out in each sugya, not just learn the sugya to know all the shittas and all the kashas and all the steps, but also to then decide for myself which one is more correct. So maybe I could do that. Even if I was ready for that, I could do it for a few sugyas. But there's no way I would have time in the, you know, Shnaitzav Shaladim Shimim Shana V'Migvuri Shmainim Shana. There's no way that a person could have time to get through all of it. So therefore he says, I have a plan B. The other way to approach Psak Halacha is democratically. I take a vote. I see all the Rishonim, I compile all the Rishonim, I see which, how many learned this way and how many learned that way, and I go with the majority. Yeah, it's a little bit of a more sophisticated system. I guess you might call it an electoral system. He says there's the first tier, he says there's a top tier of Paiskim. The Shlosh Amudei HaHaira, a very famous line in the Beis Yosef. There was Shlosh Amudei HaHaira.
And those, what? The superdelegates.
Right, exactly, right. Those were the Rosh and the Rif and the Rambam. He says those three Rishonim stand on a pedestal above all the other Rishonim when it comes to Psak Halacha, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh. And I'm always going to take a vote of those three. If those three all spoke on the subject and two out of the three pass in one way, so he says I'm almost always... It's interesting, he says almost. He says there's no rules that don't have exceptions, but generally speaking, I'm going to pass it like that. Let's say I don't get a consensus or a majority out of those three. Let's say the Rif didn't comment on it, and then the Rambam went one way, and the Rosh went the other way. So then I go down to the next tier of the Rishonim. I see the Tosfos, I see the Ramban, I see the Rashba, I see the Ran. And again, and the Mordechai, I think he throws in over there, the Mordechai, the Smag. He did, yeah. He says if he did, one of the paragraphs in his, like, one of the things that he goes through in his Akdam is he goes through a list of about 30, I think around 30 Svarim that he says that he's using on a regular basis. So when you learn my Sefer in each Simon, you'll know what the him and him and him and him, and he lists about 30 Svarim, what they say on each Sugya. And the 30th on the list, I don't know if it's really number 30, but the last one on the list is the Zohar. It's a very interesting list. But all the others are Rishonim.
Those days, there was some library.
Right. So the Beis Yosef says, so I go down to the next tier of Rishonim, but basically I try to figure out which is the more prevalent view, and that's how I pass him. So I mentioned this again.
Is in the beginning?
Yeah, the beginning of Ar-Chaim, yeah. So I mentioned this, a little bit of a tangent, because I want to bring out that the Shagas Aryeh did not follow this rule. He did not follow this conclusion of the Mitzvah Seif. The Shagas Aryeh, and he's not the only one, most Achreinim follow what the Mitzvah Seif said, that the Rishenim, our job is not to decide who's right and who's wrong between the Rishenim, we're just here to learn the Rishenim. But, you know, I try to understand everyone as well as we can. If we have a kasha, we have to try to answer the kashas. But there were some that didn't take that approach. The Maharshal, who was at the same time as the Beis Yosef, he strongly disagreed with the Beis Yosef about this. And he said, no, you know, we don't, when it comes to Torah, you can't just accept that of Derech Eretz. You have to figure out what's really right. And the Shagas Aryeh was a follower of that approach. He said, okay, I have here Machlekes, the Rosh, Rabbeinu Yonah on one side, the Rambam and the Ramban on the other side. I take no prisoners. You know, I'm going to figure out which side is right and which side is wrong, and we're going to pass it like the right side. So he says, the first ta'ara is that according to the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah, that the whole din of Hesach Hadas is Mishum Tzchoik V'Kalas Rosh. So what's the Mishmash all about? What do you have to touch them for? The idea is just not to be Isaac and Tzchoik V'Kalas Rosh. According to the Rambam, that the idea is to remain focused on the tefillin all the time, so it's hard to keep, you know, to concentrate all the time. So to, as an aid, not to break your concentration, you keep on touching the tefillin to remind you about the tefillin. But according to the Rosh, that it's just so that you're not Isaac and Schaik v'Kalas Rosh. So just don't be Isaac and Schaik v'Kalas Rosh. Why do you have to be Mamashmesh? So you could say that he says this is kind of a doichek, but I guess what you'd have to say, what the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah would have to say, is that it's sort of like a siyug. Really, the Hesach Hadas is the Tzchoik V'Kalas Rosh. But and you're not allowed to do that while you're wearing tefillin. But if you don't remember that you're wearing tefillin, then you might come to be engaged in the Tzchoik V'Kalas Rosh. So you touch the tefillin to remind yourself that you're wearing tefillin, not because there's a mitzvah to remember that you're wearing tefillin, but because that way you won't come to the Tzchoik V'Kalas Rosh. It's a little bit less direct than it is according to the Rambam and the Ramban, but okay, you could still do it. But he says, but the problem is, there's a couple of Gemaras where it seems that the mishmush is a big deal. A mitzvah for itself. Mm-hmm. There's one Gemara where each of these two Gemaras that he mentions has multiple pshatim. But he says there's one Gemara. Where's this Gemara? The Gemara that says Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvos. I don't remember. It's in Yuma, maybe it's Lamed Vav, but I'm not sure. That it says Eim Avir Nala Mitzvahs, and the example that the Gemara gives of the Eim Avir Nala Mitzvahs is the tefillin that you don't put the Shal Reish before the Shal Yad. Now, what does that mean? You don't put the Shal Reish before the Shal Yad. So the simple meaning would be when you're putting on. Rashi says you put on the Shal Yad and then you put on the Shal Reish. Tosfos says no, it can't mean that because that's not because of Eim Avir Nala Mitzvahs. That's because of a din in Hilchas Tefillin that you're never allowed to have the Shal Reish on without a Shal Yad. So Tosfos says that it means the way that you put the tefillin into the bag. It's supposed to be done in such a way that the Shal Yad will come out first. That's what the Gemara means by Eim Avir Nala Mitzvahs. But then Tosfos brings down B'Shem Rabbeinu Eliyahu, one of the Balei Tosfos, that the pshat is when you're being mamashmesh b'tefillin. Over there, you can't be makt in the Shal Reish to the Shal Yad because Eim Avir Nala Mitzvahs. What does that mean, Eim Avir Nala Mitzvahs? Because ordinarily, where's your hand? And your hand doesn't, you don't dangle your hand up here, right? Your hand stays down here. And then when you come to be Mamash Mishfilin, you have to lift it up. So the Shal Yad is at a lower altitude than your Shal Reish. So your hand is going to pass the Shal Yad first and then the Shal Reish. So when you're Mamash Mishfilin, you have to first touch the Shal Yad and then the Shal Reish. So, Zuk the Shagas Aryeh, if the Gemara, again, it's only one of the Pshatim and the Rishonim, but according to this Pshat at least, if we're applying the principle of Eim Avir Nala Mitzvahs to the Mishmush itself, it sounds like the Mishmush is a mitzvah. It's not just a siyog towards a mitzvah. And then there's another Gemara, even more striking, in Sukkah Daf Mem Vav, there's a Gemara that says that the Rabbanan de Beir Avashi kol zimnin dahava mamash mishibuhu havu mevarchi. They made a bracha on every Mishmush. Every time they were mamash mish in the tefillin, they made a bracha. Now what does that mean? Every time they made a Mishmush on the tefillin, they made a bracha. Allah hanich tefillin, like five times a day, five times within a shachris. So some rishonim. What?
Lamashmesh b'tefillin.
Oh, that'd be the bracha. So the emphasis is that some Rishonim learn that it means dafka if they were being mamashmesh and found that the tefillin were out of place, and they're moving the tefillin back into place, on that it's saying that you make a bracha. Other Rishonim say that no, it means literally every time that you're mamashmesh, but in Echanami, the bracha is not laniach tefillin, the bracha is a different bracha that we don't use nowadays, at least certainly Ashkenazim don't, the bracha of Lishmar Chukav. But many Rishonim talked about such a bracha that was made sometimes, that was made when they would take off the tefillin under some circumstances. And Tosfos says that that's the bracha that the Rabbanan Debeir of Ashi would make every time that they were mamashmesh with tefillin.
Are you talking about wearing tefillin all day long?
Right, this time? Right. The Rishonim were still talking.
When did we stop wearing tefillin all day long?
I think in the times of the Balei HaTosfos.
Balei HaTosfos was before the rush.
Right. In the times of the rush, I think. I mean, maybe it was a gradual process. I don't know if nobody was at that time, but
why don't we wear tefillin by Mincha and Maariv?
I think because of the Gufnaki concern, we want to limit it, so we just wear Peshachos. I think so. Yeah.
In the old city, I've seen people wear tefillin.
Yeah. Right, the Zilberman Chabura.
They wear tefillin.
No, not at night.
You said you can sleep in it.
My father told me. Not at night.
What do you mean not at night?
You're not allowed to wear tefillin at night. It's machlekes in the Gemara.
Because of Yofia.
No. There's a, according to one opinion, at least in the Gemara, there's a separate halacha that asers wearing it at night. There's a machlekes whether it's separate.
That's why we don't say. For Marav, right.
That would cover Marav. It's. I think we pass in that it's usher to wear tefillin at night. Where were we holding? What was our last comment?
Mashmesh every time, you know.
Right. So the Rabbanan Debeir of Ashi made a bracha every time they were mashmesh, and according to some Rishonim, it means literally every time they were mashmesh. So, again, not only should we learn that way, but Zok Tashagas Aryeh, a bracha, that sounds like it's a serious Maisa Mitzvah. So, again, according to the Rosh Rabbeinu Yaina, it's a siyug so that you don't forget, even though there's nothing wrong with forgetting, per se, but if you forget, then you might come to do Chalik Kalas Rosh. It seems very unlikely that will be treated as a Maisa Mitzvah, an Indian making a bracha, an Indian aim of and all the mitzvahs. So, all of these Mukairis are really mashma much more like the Rambam and the Ramban.
Which one has a more Shem first, the Yad or the Shalom?
They're exactly the same. But then he says, what's his main kasha? And this is so gishmak, mamash eye opening. You never think that this would be the kasha that he feels is machriya the shaila. But he says, you know why he's convinced that the Rambam's pshat is right and the Rosh Rabbeinu's pshat is wrong. Again, we don't use that in the Nusach, but that's the way the Shagas Aryeh says it. Because my kasha on them is like this. If the whole din of Hesach Hadas is that you shouldn't be noig tzchik v'kalas roish, so that means that otherwise, what? If you weren't wearing them, you'd be allowed to tzchik v'kalas roish? Erlich Yidden? Hayatachin? That's the Shagas Aryeh's kasha. Goes through it in steps. First he says, let's start with the tzitz. By the tzitz, where's the tzitz? The tzitz is the Kohen Gadol doing their void in the base of Mikdash. There's a mitzvah day rice of Mimikdoshi Tira'u. Is it possible that somebody is Kalas Roish in the base of Mikdash? So then he speaks out, it's true that according to Tosfos says, possibly according to one opinion, in the Machlokes we were talking about before, according to one opinion, the Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz even when he went home. Okay, then already, then we don't have the Mikdashi Tiro. He says, but still, what about the pasuk that says, he's Shamar Lecha, Pentishkech is Shamar Lekecha? That you're not allowed to forget that there's Eibishter of the Welt. How could a Yid who remembers the Eibishter be Isaac B'Schoik B'Kalas Reish? And then he says, Kimavur B'Midrashi Chazal. And it's interesting. He seems to say, and then he goes on to say in the next step, and even if he'll say that it's a Drabanon, so he seems to be clearing whether the Isra of Tzchoik V'Kalas Roish is an Isra Deiraisa or an Isra Drabanon. The Deiraisa is that it will be learned from Yishamel Chapan Tishkach Yishamel Kecha. K'mavur b'midrashei Chazal. Now, I don't know where this Medrash of Chazal is. Now, that's meaningless, and I don't know where it is, but what I really mean to say is that in the Shagas Aryeh with the footnotes, the people that put in all the Ma'ar Mekayimais, you know, he just wrote, you know, he wrote, you know, Taisa says this and Gemara says that. But when you buy a Shagas Aryeh nowadays in the 21st century, so first of all, it's going to have a nice shiny cover, and all the letters are going to be square letters, and all the Rashi Tevis are going to be written out. And also, all the Ma'ar Mekayimais are put in. He quotes a Gemara, it'll say where the Gemara is. He quotes a Taisa, it'll say exactly which Taisa he means. Right, the Rambam will have a parak and a halacha. Over here he says, Kimavum Midrashe Chazal, and you're waiting to see, you know, the parentheses, and it says, you know, Sifra, Sifri, Psikta, Medrash Rabba. Nothing. Meaning, the people that put out the Shagas Aryeh couldn't find any such Medrash. So, okay, I don't know where this, and there's, I did a little bit of looking around, you know, with the kinds of tools that are, that make it easy even for Amaratzim to look up things, and I couldn't find a Medrash that learns that Issus Chaykh HaShreis from Hisham Lecha Batishka Hisham Lekacha. But, so I don't know if this is what he's referring to, but I do know one interesting thing about the Hisham Lecha Batishka Hisham Lekacha. There's a fascinating asek among the Moinei HaMitzvahs. This is a pasuk in Parashas Ekev. It says, "Be careful, Hisham Lecha Pentishkach, that you not forget as Hashem Lekecha." Does this go into the minyan of mitzvahs? So if you open the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs, he doesn't count. There's no such mitzvahs. It would be a leisasek because this is a Hishamer Delav. There's no such mitzvahs leisasek. There's no such mitzvah in the Tariq Mitzvahs in the Rambam. Excuse me. One of the Moinei HaMitzvahs is the Sefer called the Smag. It's really the Sefer Mitzvahs Gedolos, which stands for Smag. Or Moshe Mikutzi was one of the Baalei HaTaisvahs, and he wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs, and in Mrs. Leisas Samach Dalid, he counts this mitzvah. He's Shomel Chabadishkach Shomel Kacha, and he spends a whole page talking about what it means, and then at the very end of the paragraph, he writes that, you know, the Rambam doesn't include this in his minyan of mitzvahs, and originally I also didn't, and I finished my Sefer, and I didn't have this mitzvah. And one night, I was sleeping, and I had a dream. And in the dream, the Rebbeinu Shalom came to me and he said, "Reb Moshe, shachachta es ha'ikar. You forgot the ikar. Hishamer lecha b'mentishkach es Hashem alekecha. You're not allowed to forget Hashem, your God." I woke up in the morning, and I realized that the meaning of the dream is very clear. That in my minyan of Leisa says, I didn't include this mitzvah, and this mitzvah is the ikar. It's such an important mitzvah. So I went and I changed my minyan. I don't know what, he doesn't say what he used to include that he had to take out now, because he got to have the same number, 365. But he went and he readjusted his minyan and mitzvahs to put in this leisas that Hisham Lecha Pentishkach Hisham Lekecha. So this might be, you know, so I do have, that there's one makar in Rishonim, not in Midrashim, but in Rishonim that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and other Rishonim that don't count it among the minyan and mitzvahs. Is this what the Shagas Aryeh is referring to? I don't know. But what's interesting, though, is that he doesn't say that it's a leisas against tzchok v'kalas reish. The smag learns that this is a leisas against gaiva. Very interesting smag, that he holds that there's a leisas command, you know, what he's talking about in this whole long page is the midah of anava and how bad it is to be about gaiva. And I mean, the smag, Reb Moshe Mikutzi, was a darshan. He was a traveling darshan. And he writes that this drush is an old drush of mine. I always, you know, I would sometimes speak about Gaiva, and he has this whole collection of Marmakoimis and ideas that he says about it. And he says, this drush is an old drush of, but it was never going to be in my Sefer, because it's not one of them, you know, I'm writing a minyan of mitzvahs. It wasn't one of the talking mitzvahs until I had this dream. So then I decided to include it, and I took this drush out of my notes, you know, about Gaiva, and I attached it to this mitzvah, and now it's in the minyan of mitzvahs.
The Torah says Kadoshim to you.
Yeah.
Is that a mitzvah?
Oh, that's a very good question. You mean to say that since it's so klaliistic, that's a very good point. That is, but Pashtus, the reason why the Rambam doesn't count this in the minyan of mitzvahs is because he considers it a mitzvah klalis, about that you should remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem. But the Smag is saying that this mitzvah doesn't say remember the mitzvahs. It says remember Hashem. And he takes that to mean, and he brings the Gemara in Sota Daf Hei, which also seems to speak along these lines. He takes it to mean that it's referring specifically to Gaiva. If it's referring specifically to Gaiva, then it's not a mitzvah kolis. It's on that particular midah. Akobanim, getting back to the Shagatari. So the Shagatari says, so Tzchoik v'kalas reish. Some say, according, it may be an Isser Dereisa. Again, he doesn't give us, he says Midrash HaChazal, he doesn't give us Sashgur Makaris, he mentions this pasuk there is a smag that counts it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Al-Kabonim, he says it may be an Isser Dereisa. If it's not an Isser Dereisa, though, it's certainly an Isser Derabanan. Because there's a mission in Avos, Tzchoik v'kalas reish, Margilin is Adam L'dei Avera. So, if Chazal tell you that it's Margilin is Adam L'dei Avera, so, that makes it an Isser. And then he writes, but if you tell me, oh, but if it's only us and we draw bun on, so then the mitzvah of tefillin, the isra has a chadas by tefillin, is to make it us from midiraisa by tefillin. Okay, so then there is a nafkamina, there is something relevant to this halacha by tefillin. Zakta Shagasari, actually, no, because Tosfos says, and this is a very important point, that this mitzvah that we've been talking about this whole shir, the isra has a chadas by tefillin, Tosfos says is only draw bun on. Mm-hmm. Because even though the Gemara learns it from Tzitz, a Kal V'Chaymer from Tzitz, Tosfos says, but it's a Kal V'Chaymer Pricha, meaning there's a Pircha on the Kal V'Chaymer, because even though, yes, there's far more Azkaris in the Tefillin than there are in the Tzitz, but on the Tzitz, the Azkara, the Shem Hashem, is Begaloi. Everyone sees it. On the Tefillin, it's Beseser. It's covered up. So in that respect, the tefillin is less chomer than the tzitz. So it's not a real Kal V'Chaymer, and therefore you can't really learn that midiraisa. Tosfos says, so it's really just an asmachta that we learn from the tzitz, that it's a din d'rabbanan. Zakta Shagas Aryeh, so once it's only a din d'rabbanan, so how could you tell me that the d'rabbanan made an iser d'rabbanan, that while you're wearing tefillin, you're not allowed to be yinoyig v'schik v'kalas reish? You mean even midrabbanan? You don't think there's any iser all day long? Of course it's iser all day long. So therefore, he says it doesn't make sense that that should be the halacha of hazakadas by tefillin. And based on that, he says his maskana, his conclusion is Tosfos is right. I mean the Rambam, their pshat is right that it means that you have to literally concentrate on the tefillin all the time, and not like this kula of the Rosh. So then Shagas Aryeh has one more step. He says, okay, so if I came out that the Rambam must be right, that it's usher. That we take it literally, that you really can never break your concentration. So then the kash is, but could we come back to the kash that we started this year with? Is that really realistic? Now he does, it's interesting, he doesn't put it that way. Is it realistic? He got the impression that if that was the halacha, fine, you know, that's the halacha. The Shagas Aryeh didn't mind how hard mitzvahs were. But he says, but I'll bring you rayas. That's not the halacha. So he says, first of all, when the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, he has to do the Avodah. And the Avodah, there are machshavos that are required when you're doing the Avodah. So how could he have those machshavos if he's supposed to not be taking his mind off of the tzitz? You could ask a similar question. For it's us, we wear... What?
It's Chayiv Nisa.
If he messes up the Avodah.
Yeah, there he's just not doing the
Nisa. Okay. I mean, so he might want to prioritize that machshava to this one, but still, if there's a halacha that he's not allowed to, so how does he fulfill this mitzvah of the tzitz? And he says, what about us? We wear tefillin, but while we're wearing tefillin, we do some things that are pretty important, like Kriyashma, like Shemen Esrei. Those are supposed to have kavana. But if you're not, how could you have kavana for all these things at the same time? And then he adds one more raya, and this is very clever because there are some achrayim that wanted to say that sort of as a teretz to this whole thing, it doesn't really mean, these are not a stira. It just means dobi mesiach das from inyonim of Yir Shemayim, of, you know, tefillah, kriya shema, that's all good. That's all sort of the same type of kavana as the tefillin. It's all about Hashem, and I'm standing in front of Him, and I'm serving Him. So there's no stira between the kavana of Kriyashma and this kavana for tefillin. Okay, you could say that, but what about, there's a Gemara in Shabbos of Kuf Kav Zayin, a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara is about being down the kavschos. The Gemara tells some stories about where someone did something and it looked very suspicious, but people gave him the benefit of the doubt, and it turned out that they were correct. So it tells the story about, I think, Rabbi Yeshua, that one time Klai Yisrael needed a favor from a Roman noblewoman. But this was a noblewoman who was not such a noblewoman. He had a very bad reputation, and people went to her for all the worst kinds of things. But Rabbi Yeshua had to go meet with her. His talmidim were escorting him. And then when he was four amos away, it says that he took off his tefillin before he approached the house. At a distance of four amos, he took off his tefillin, and then he went inside. And, you know, which could give the, you know, the impression of something inappropriate. And then it says that, and then when he came out, he even went to the mikvah, which made it look even worse. And then the Gemara says that he asked the Talmidim, so what were you thinking? You know, what were you thinking when I took off my tefillin? So they said, well, we were thinking that you didn't want the tefillin that are holy to go into a Talmidic place like that. He says, that's right. And what were you thinking about why I closed the door? It says also that he closed the door behind him. He went in and he closed the door behind him. What were you thinking when I closed the door? Well, you were probably talking about important political matters that were not for everybody, you know, the high-level diplomacy. And what were you thinking when I went to the mikveh afterwards? Well, because she was Tmeya. Maybe while you were talking, if some saliva of hers went fell onto your begadim, so or onto your hand, that will make you Tmeya. So he said, everything that you said is exactly right. And he writes in that just like you had done me lekavzchos, because Baruch Hu should have done you lekavzchos. That's the story of the Gemara in Shabbos Kuchav Zayin. Zok l'shagas Aryeh, because he didn't want to take the tefillin into a makom Tmeya, like this woman's house, so he took them off. Otherwise, he would have worn the tefillin through the meeting. The meeting was about diplomacy. It was about politics. It wasn't Krishma. It wasn't avoid in the Beis Hamikdash. So isn't that a hezachadas from the tefillin? So there's got to be some leeway with the hezachadas. So Shagas Aryeh, I'm going to be mekatzer. So to try to make a long story short, he says that even though there's a isser of removing your mind, hezachadas, which literally means removing your attention. But maybe a removal of attention means if it's removed for a certain duration of time. There could be a shear in hezachadas. Mm. And if you, as a mashal, there's a mitzvah, right? For this makes an again, Yonah Diyama, this week's parasha is, right? I mean, this week, this Shabbos is parasha Zachar. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to remember what Amalek did and to never forget, right? It says Zachar, it says Leisishkach. So how are we mekayim that? Once a year, we take out the Sefer Torah and we read the parasha of Zachar. What about the other weeks? The other weeks were not, right? What about right now? Nobody here was thinking about Amalek just now. So why were we in violation of Leis Hishkach? It says it means there's a shear. It means don't go more than a year. According to some Rishonim, that's the shear. Don't go more than a year without thinking about it. That would be called forgetting. So the Shagas Aryeh says that on a much smaller scale, Hezachadas means to go a certain duration of time without thinking about it. That's called removing your das. But if it's a smaller duration, then that's not called being Mesiach Das. Now, you'll ask me, what's the Shiur? And I'll tell you, unfortunately, Chazal didn't tell us all the Shiurim. There are certain Shiurim that are in a Gay and Halacha that we just don't have. He brings an example. For example, Chazal say this about Tosfos Yom Kippurim, that there's a mitzvah, Deiraisa, of Tosfos Yom Kippurim, but we don't know what the Shiur is. So he says, that's true by Hezach Hadas also. Hezach Hadas means, the Isser is, don't be Mesiach Da, don't take your mind away for more than X amount of time. And we don't know what the X amount of time is. So what do we do? So, well, he says, well, we do have one clue. I don't have any idea what the shear of Hezach Hadas is, but the Gemara said that when you're wearing tefillin, you're not allowed to sleep Ashinas Keva, you're allowed to sleep Ashinas Harai. Now, the reason why the Gemara asked for the Ashinas Keva is Mishum Shami Yafiach. It was, right, the Gemara, like we said before, was not talking about Hezachadas. But it's clear that the duration of Ashinas Harai was not long enough to be concerned about Hezachadas. And the Gemara over there says, that at least in one of the Tanoim gives a shear of no, Kedei Hiluch Mea Amma. 100 amos. It's the time that it takes to walk 100 amos. How long does it take to walk 100 amos? Well, the Gemara never says that, but we do have Gemaras that talk about Kedei Hiluch Mil, right? The Gemara Pesachim Daf Tzadi Dalet, which is the sort of the headquarters of all the Zmanim Gemaras, and it's a complicated Shach Vitari, and there's different Pshatim in the Mefarshim, but we come away from there with an idea of a Hiluch Mil being a certain amount of time. The most widely accepted opinion is that it's 18 minutes. Some interpretations of the Gemara come out a little bit longer, maybe 24 minutes. But let's suppose, for argument's sake, that a Kedei Hiluch Mil is 18 minutes. It's like Gay and Hilch, right? Another Nyanah D'Yayma, right? Soon we'll be baking matzahs. The shir of chimutz is in a kedei hiluch mil. That's why we're careful that there's a magic number of 18 minutes when we're baking matzahs. So how long is how large is a mil? A mil is 2,000 amos. So if Chazal considered it a walk of 2,000 amos to take 18 minutes, so how long is a walk of 100 amos? Well, if 2,000 amos is 18 minutes, so 1,000 amos is half of that, that'll be 9 minutes. And then 100 amos is a tenth of 9 minutes, in other words, 9 tenths of a minute. 9 tenths of a minute is 54 seconds. So Zakta Shagasari, 54 seconds, you're for sure not in violation of Hesach Hadas. Now that doesn't mean that's the shear of Hesach Hadas. Maybe it's 10 minutes, maybe it's half an hour. But Chazal didn't tell us. But what we know is that a Shinas HaRoi is short enough that it's not a Hesach Hadas. So the Shagasari says, and so here's my bottom line. Really, there's a mitzvah of Hesach Hadas. It doesn't just mean Tzchok V'Kalas Zeroish. You have to think about your tefillin. But it doesn't mean you have to think about it all the time. It means you can't go longer than a shir Hesach Hadas without thinking about your tefillin. And we don't know how long that is, but it's for sure not less than 54 seconds. So you'll be safe if you just remind yourself about the tefillin every 54 seconds, then you'll be safe. And that's the Shagas Aryeh's bottom line, his Psak LaHalacha, except that the last step, he says, he's not so sure about, meaning the kula. He says, I paskin that the Rambam is right. You can't be misnich das from your tefillin. I hold that there is a certain duration in which it's not a violation, but that this Shigul Torah, based on the Gemara in Sukkah about the sleeping, that 54 seconds is not considered a violation, that I'm saying only la halacha v'lay la maisa. Meaning, maybe the shir is smaller. Maybe there's a flaw in that chesed. That part he's not so confident about. So the kula, that it's okay to go 30, 40, 45 seconds, even 50 seconds without thinking about your tefillin, that kula he's not so sure about. But that you shouldn't go longer than that without thinking about your tefillin, that, right, you can just imagine somebody making an app, right? That every 50 seconds they go with tefillin. You know.
But that would make sense why we don't wear tefillin during
the day. That, it certainly would. But, okay. Right, but this is still, this seems like a little bit of an unrealistic imposition, I think, for most people. So I think, obviously it's getting later ready, but the Arch HaShulchan, you know, which is not a very typical name to mention in conjunction with the Shagas Aryeh, it's two very, very opposite types of Sefer. Shagas Aryeh was an alumnus of Josefer, and it's LaHalacha, he's paskening Shailas, but you know, he'll spend 10 pages, 20 pages to answer one little shayla in the Arach HaShulchan, and it's meant, you know, the target audience clearly is you know, just lamdanim. The Arach HaShulchan is a sefer of halacha l'mais, a practical halacha, and it's meant to be written in a simple, readable format that's supposed to be accessible to everyone. So it's not so common that you have Arach HaShulchan bringing down and arguing on and discussing a Shagas Aryeh, but over here he does. So Arach HaShulchan says, give me a break. Says that he doesn't go through a whole arichas with raias. He says it's just not possible that a person is supposed to just concentrate on the tefillin and not take his mind off of it. He says it's just impossible. Avada, the Russian Rebbeinu Yoina are right. That's got to be the pshat. Russian Rebbeinu Yoina, that's chayk v'kalas reish. That's what it means. Hetzach hadas means chayk v'kalas reish. I, the Shagas Aryeh, is kashas. So he goes to, it's interesting, also the Shari Tshuva says, the Shari Tshuva writes that the Shari Tshuva, which is on the same page as in the Mishnah Berurah, higher on the page, that's the Ephraim Zalman Margolis, he also says, the Minhag HaOlam is like the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and the Shagas Aryeh is kashas, the kashas have terutzim. That's what he says. The Arach HaShulchan, what he explains is that Avada, the mitzvah is that you shouldn't be naig b'tzchoik v'kalas reish, but the more that you think about your tefillin, the more your tefillin will stop you from being naik tzchok v'kalas reish. So every time that you remember your tefillin, you should touch your tefillin, so that you shouldn't come to the tzchok v'kalas reish. And he doesn't really elaborate on how he answers the kasha. Again, the big kasha of the Shagas Aryeh was that isn't it anyway also tzchok v'kalas reish? So he really just has a couple of words. I can't say for sure that this is what he means, but what I think he means, and this is what I think is probably the straightforward answer to this question, is that yes, there's a mission in Avos that Tzchok V'Kalas Reish Magilus HaArdim L'Dei Aveira, and so a person should not behave that way, but it's a sliding scale. It's not a maisa aveira in the same way that eating chazer is a maisa aveira. It's the more that a person lives with a constant awareness of the Rabbeinu Shleilam, the less he'll be Isaac in Tzchaik V'Kalas Reish. But nobody really lives like that 24/7 all the time. So the mitzvah of tefillin is that while you're wearing tefillin, you're supposed to have a heightened awareness. And over here, you're supposed to be especially careful not to come with the Tzchaik V'Kalas Reish. And the rest of the day, you don't have the... And the tefillin is supposed to be a reminder. It's true. It's just a reminder of a behavior that really you should be practicing all day long. But nobody's accomplishing it all the time. Most of the day, you don't have this reminder. The tefillin is a reminder to bring out this behavior, which is really an ideal behavior all the time. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says is the Bir HaInyan. I'm just going to end off on this idea that there's a Isser of Tzchaik V'Kalas Reish, but there's a sliding scale in terms of, you know, how different people approach it. So I want to tell over a story about Rabbi Akiva Eiger. This is a widely told story. That doesn't mean it's true, but it wasn't made up yesterday. That I can tell you. I heard this story from a Yid of Moshe Aaron Stern. His son is Rabbi Chil Michel Stern, is from the Chosh V'Chosh V'Tamid Chacham nowadays in Eretz Yisrael. His father was a Mashkiach in some of the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. And undoubtedly, this was a story that was told in the yeshivas in Litta about Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The Maisa is that somebody made a shidduch for Rabbi Akiva Eiger's son. So they had to go on a date. How did the date work? The son went to meet with the girl's father to talk and learning. That was the date. And then, you know, they would see if they were impressed with each other. He wanted to, after all, it's not stump talking and learning, it's a special occasion. So they wanted to do it in a nice way. So the Rabbi Akiva Eiger traveled with his son to meet the mechutan. And the way that the mechutan set up this date was that he put out a tray of food to eat, and then the talking and learning was supposed to be about Hilchas Brachas, going through all the things on the tray, Shailas and Hilchas Brachas, and a special emphasis on Kedima in Brachas. Like, what would you eat first? What would you say? What would you make a bracha on first? And say, right, this complicated Shailas there. So he wanted to see how well he was holding. So they went through the whole tray, with all the different brachas, and then they were down to the shahakals. There were two things left. There was an egg and a glass of something to drink, water, milk. And then they were discussing which one would you be makdim to make the bracha. And the son of Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, I would make the bracha on the egg first. And the other person, the mechutin, for some reason was arguing that you should make the bracha on the drink first. And they argued back and forth. And
sure, wasn't the chicken and the egg?
You could do it that way too. It's they're both chakals, taco.
And wine.
Yeah, right. That's true. So ultimately, the son prevailed. The son, the Eiger, prevailed and convinced him that really that was correct. That he should make the bracha on the egg first, and then this man, this prospective mechutin, smiled and said, "Oh." And it's taka pasuk like you also. A state in pasuk v'ha ayin mikedem as their eye gate freer. In the pasuk is the name of a city, but in Yiddish, an eye is an egg. And mikedem in the pasuk means on the east, but it also means first. So he used that pun to say that, the pasuk is taka like you as their eye gate freer. Rabbi Yeager had been standing, against whatever. He was in the background the whole time. He was not involved in the conversation. He just brought his son. At this point, he spoke up for the first time, and he said, "But the eye in the pasuk is nishta eye. This is ashtot." He said, "The eye in that pasuk is not an egg. It's the name of the city." So the Yid turned to him, and he said, "Chagimet nor avitz. I was just saying a joke." Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, "Avitz? We don't do shidduchim with people that do avitz." That's the story as I heard it.